Currently 57 degrees here on Signal Hill, 42% humidity, 10 miles of visibility. What do we got? Mostly sunny skies today with a high near 60, north winds around 15 miles an hour. Clear tonight, mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 48, north winds 5 to 15 miles an hour, becoming northwest after midnight. Isolated showers after 1 tomorrow with cloudy skies, a high near 60. And northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour, becoming northeast 5 to 10 in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation at 20%. Chiniac Bay today, northwest 20, becoming north 10 this afternoon with 4-foot seas down to 2 feet. Tonight, north 10, becoming northwest 15 after midnight, 2-foot seas. Marmot Bay today, northwest 15, 3-foot seas. Tonight, north 10, becoming west 15 after midnight, seas of 3 feet. Tomorrow, northwest 15, becoming east in the afternoon with seas of 3 feet. Here we go.
For a referral, please call 907-486-9870. Again, 486-9870 if you're considering having a COVID-19 test. I do caution everyone to continue these health safety practices that have been effective and have provided comfort to our community as we monitor this nasty virus for any outbreaks. What have we been doing? We have delivered masks. We have conducted interviews and press releases. We've set up provisional facilities. We've provided additional personnel at the harbor to issue the harbor use agreements. We've reviewed over 100 business mitigation plans. And the EOC continues to accept new plans. We've reached out to our local industries, our healthcare providers, the Coast Guard, retailers, event planners, individuals, support groups, including the Chamber of Commerce, all with the intent to understand the provisions everyone is taking and providing guidance and support in this heroic event to keep this nasty virus out of our community, including the villages. The Kodiak Island Borough is considering opening the borough office building to the public on June 8th. I understand the senior center will remain closed to members of the public. However, they are providing meals for pickup. You will see the Kodiak Parks and Recreation Department open facilities beginning tomorrow. These facilities include the swimming pool and the teen center. Of course, the parks are open. The playgrounds are open. These facilities will have capacity limitations to comply with these safety practices that have kept us safe. Again, I could ask you to please patronize your local businesses whenever you can. Now that they're opened up, they're really in need of your patronage, and we support them and they support us. As Alaska moves into reopening and summer events occurring, the Emergency Operations Center will continue to monitor and make decisions locally to respond to this nasty virus. Why do I continue to describe this as a nasty virus? That's because it's unlike any other illness society has ever seen or experienced. I continue to believe that contracting the virus is preventable. That's because we are providing, We're proving this each and every other day here in Kodiak with just one confirmed case. The Emergency Operations Center is pleased with these results. However, every emergency is local, and the EOC staff is making plans in the near future to prepare for local spikes in the virus and what those plans would look like here in Kodiak. We have done so well to date. However, there are plans to reverse this slow reopening if need be. You've seen the banners placed around town. As a reminder to keep our social distancing, wear a mask in group settings outside your personal bubble, wash your hands often. See kids, washing your hands is important. I mentioned previously that the City Council will be meeting next week to discuss the acceptance of the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, also known as the CARES Act. This meeting is intended to distribute financial funding relief to businesses, nonprofits, and organizations that have suffered financially because of the mandated shutdowns during our recent hunker down period. Store supplies are readily available for basic items. However, produce, bakery, meat, and other food items are steadily improving. The purchase limits, we understand, have been lifted. Bicycles are in high demand locally and nationwide. That's an interesting fact, I find. As I was driving over here today, I noticed several new bicycles on the street with those nice shiny spokes. Obviously, kids are enjoying the summers. As Alaska continues to come back from the first signs of the coronavirus, the governor has moved us into phase 3 and 4 guidance. This means individual actions are still effective in the reduced spread of the virus. The virus is thought to spread mainly from person to person. COVID-19 has detected in persons who are not showing symptoms, and recent studies have suggested that COVID-19 may spread by asymptomatic people. It may be possible that a person can contact COVID-19 by touching a surface or object that has the virus on it and then touching their own mouth, nose, or possibly eyes. So again, we repeat the important message to wash your hands often, avoid close contact outside of your personal bubble, cover your nose and mouth with a cloth covering when around others, stay home if you are ill, and always cover your coughs and sneezes. Clean and disinfect frequently touched surfaces. This information and more can be found on the State of Alaska homepage or coronavirus.alaska.gov. As we grapple with the threat of this nasty virus, many of us ask the question, are we now safe or are we expecting another outbreak to occur? History shows the likelihood we will see a resurgence in the state and possibly here in Kodiak. I deal with the public and the medical perceptions on both sides of the spectrum. Some believe this is nothing to worry about, while others are very concerned with the possibility they may contract the virus. Each one of us has our very own comfort level to live with. 2 months ago, we were all unsure of the limits of the virus. Today, we know more about its transmission and properties. There is no cure, but it may be preventable. Yesterday, the state reported 13 new cases. America has lost 100,000 loved ones to this nasty virus. I'll end with a little story here. We live on an island with the largest bears in the world. They live in our neighborhoods, around our favorite fishing holes, and we know this. So what do? We are aware of our surroundings. We whistle in the woods. We wear bear bells. We talk out loud to let the bears know we are in their space. All measures to avoid the conflict of a surprise encounter. We can do the same with this virus. Take measures to protect each other, you and your neighbor, to avoid that surprise encounter. So remember, smile, we will get through this together. And thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you today. We'll be back again next Thursday at noon. Same time. Thank you.
Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
That concluded our broadcast of the Emergency Services Council for today. Again, we have this Bristol Bay Commercial Fisheries update this afternoon from Dillingham at 3 o'clock and a City Council meeting tonight at 7:30. And next Thursday, another update from the ESC. 13 new cases. That's fairly perplexing. The Kodiak City Council was considering postponing scheduled rate and fee increases for utilities and services due to COVID-19, but changed their mind in order to meet debt obligations. Jared Griffin of KMXD News has the story.
At their work session this week, the city took up postponing increases to water, sewer, and harbor fees for 6 months. Next month, water rates are scheduled to increase by 5%, sewer rates by 7%, and harbor rates by 2.8%. Next month, water rates are scheduled to increase by 5%, sewer rates by 7%, and harbor rates by 2.8%. The council has been considering this for the past several weeks after Governor Mike Dunleavy signed Senate Bill 241, which allows municipalities to, quote, temporarily suspend imposition of late fees and disconnection fees on residential customers' utility accounts, unquote, in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. Postponing rate increases on water and sewer for the next 6 months, which have been scheduled since 2016 and 2017 respectively, will result in over $200,000 of lost revenue for the city. Revenue loss from the harbor increase would be about $65,000. However, as City Manager Mike Twenge noted, the city has debt related to infrastructure projects, which rely on the revenue from the rate increases.
The wastewater treatment plant loan we took out, that was the $600,000 assessment loan. That first payment is due August 1st on that. And that's $32,600. That's a one-time fee. That's for that loan. Then, of course, we have the construction of the facility. And the facility was going to be budgeted through the rate structure. So we would be having to subsidize all that as well. So
Twenge ultimately recommended that the council not postpone the rate increases, noting that there are mechanisms in place to help people pay their utility bills during the COVID-19 pandemic. But this didn't sit well with some council members who looked for alternatives. Council member Charlie Davidson.
But would that be able to come out of some of the CARES fund?
No.
No?
No. You can't replace revenue loss.
The CARES Fund is federal aid sent to states to support industries, businesses, people, and municipalities affected by the COVID-19 economic downturn. The city of Kodiak is slated to receive over $11 million, but, as Twenge noted, is restricted in how that money can be used. Councilmember Whitten proposed not postponing water and sewer, but because of instability in the fishing industry right now, postponed the harbor increase instead. The council accepted this idea. The new rates for water and sewer will be implemented in June. For KMXT News, I'm Jared Griffin.
Water and sewer patrons who may have difficulty paying their bills are encouraged to contact Kodiak Public Works at 486-8060. They can help you set up an adjusted payment plan or assist with the COVID-19 hardship application for utility and rent assistance. You can access this form on our website, kmxt.org. Lawmakers met yesterday to hear from healthcare providers and labor leaders about their concerns as workplaces in Alaska reopen. Dr. Andy Ellsberg told a joint meeting of the House State Affairs and Health and Social Services Committees that the state should be doing more to require businesses and individuals to follow health guidelines to prevent the spread of COVID-19. He says a shutdown isn't necessary if Alaskans follow guidelines.
Businesses should be required to have patrons and employees masked anytime social distancing isn't possible.
Ellsberg is an emergency department doctor at Providence Alaska Medical Center. He says the state must ensure that if it drops the 14-day quarantine for out-of-state travelers, that it has rapid testing for everyone entering the state. He also says the quarantine, which currently is scheduled to end next week, hasn't been well enforced.
Our self-isolation for 14 days is a joke. Every passenger who arrives in Alaska should be required to fill out their quarantine plan before they get off the plane. The state and the muni need to make this happen instead of expecting the other party to do it.
Bethel Democratic Representative Tiffany Zulkuski said that easing off of state mandates shouldn't send the message that the virus is less contagious.
I've just firsthand witnessed a false sense of security with the easing of various health mandates, that there's a sense that somehow we've eradicated COVID presence in Alaska enough to ease these health mandates.
The committee's also heard from state union officials who say they should be included more in state plans for workers. Alaska State Employees Association Executive Director Jake Metcalf said all workers in state offices should be informed when a worker in an office has a positive test result, and he wants them to be included in future plans.
We believe that it is essential that the employees have a spot at the table and they have a voice in how that is done.
State Division of Personnel and Labor Relations Director Kate Sheehan said the state follows safe practices and notifies those who've had close contact with workers who were infected.
Our goal is to keep government running but keep our employees safe.
Sheehan said the state wants to collaborate with employees on safety issues. Alaska's largest rural airline has an extra 2 weeks to find someone to buy it out of bankruptcy before its planes are sold off through a liquidation process. Federal judge in Delaware ruled yesterday. Raven Air Group served more than 100 communities in Alaska before shutting down and filing for bankruptcy amid the pandemic. Its management is now placing for sale ads in the Anchorage Daily News and Wall Street Journal in an effort to keep Raven intact, rather than shutting down permanently and having its assets sold off piecemeal. Raven has been touting the possibility of $30 million in federal relief grants if a buyer emerges, but the company is also $900 million in debt to a group of lenders represented by French bank BNP Paribas. Those lenders are first in line to get paid back, whether Raven is sold as a functional business or its planes sold one at a time. And right now, they're pushing to break the company up and sell off the parts. At yesterday's hearing, BNP Paribas attorney David Nyer said the finding a buyer to keep Raven intact is a Hail Mary.
That would be great news if somehow there really was a different bird in hand than liquidation. But right now, there's not. That's all we have. And the funding that we have, frankly, already is short.
Raven also owes money to an array of Alaska and other businesses, but those businesses are known as the unsecured creditors because their claims rank below those represented by the French bank. The attorney representing the unsecured creditors, Robert Stark, asked the judge to slow liquidation process down for a month. That's because his clients are more likely to get their money back if Raven stays intact and is able to generate revenue again.
This company needs a chance to rehabilitate. It needs to heal, like every other part of this country, except for the fact that the gun is held to our heads and saying you can't have enough time.
The judge, Brendan Shannon, gave Stark half the extra time he asked for, 2 weeks instead of a month. Stark also noted that Raven has not hired an investment banker to do a rigorous search for potential buyers. Raven said it has reached out to 19 potential buyers. Six entities have signed non-disclosure agreements that allow them to review confidential company data in advance of a possible purchase. City unveiled mitigation plans for reopening public buildings and programs in six departments at this week's work session, but not all departments will fully reopen. Jared Griffin has the story.
Among those departments close to fully reopening to the public this week would be City Hall, Parks and Recreation, and Public Works, with several safety precautions in place, including wearing masks and practicing social distancing. Parks and Rec is looking to reopen two of its popular buildings this Friday, the Teen Center and the pool. The Teen Center may have the easiest time reopening, as its use typically decreases in the summer as outdoor programs are increased. City Manager Mike Twenge.
So the plan is to reopen the Teen Center, and I understand during the summer months it's about 20% capacity of what the winter months are. So a lot fewer participants, more outdoor activities, therefore less indoor activities at the Teen Center.
Parks and Rec has also developed a thorough screening tool for swimming pool patrons.
Congregating on the deck of the pool. Occupancy of the pool is limited to 50% or 50 participants in the water. They will be screening people when they come in the door, asking some simple questions about if they're ill or if they've had a fever. They will be required to come dressed, you know, with their suit on, so there's less time in the locker room area, avoiding congregation, of course. They're going to clean the facility after people, you know, use it. So their protocols are pretty much established.
The Teen Center and pool are scheduled to reopen this Friday, and Parks and Rec summer programs will start June 15th. City departments, including Public Works, however, are housed in the borough building, and the Kodiak Island Borough has yet to reopen their facilities and have not announced when they will reopen. In the meantime, members of the public looking to pay a bill or request information will be able to enter only the main front door.
There's a reception desk there, and they can screen people there. There will be drop boxes for payments, and if there's any forms that need to go to us, we will be able to collect them from the front or have them walk back to our departments. We'd like to keep the door, two hallway doors downstairs locked to the public.
Other city departments have said they are not ready to fully reopen. Kodiak Police and Kodiak Fire departments will still remain closed to the public, but both buildings have a receptionist desk to serve any patrons. And the Kodiak Public Library building will continue to remain closed for the public for the next 2 weeks while they continue their curbside and call-in services for patrons requesting library materials, free Wi-Fi in the parking lot, and their summer outdoor programs. Library staff returned to the library to work earlier this week, but they are not comfortable allowing the public back in just yet.
They're not comfortable to open up to the public because this is probably one of our biggest public buildings. I think it was 25% of the occupancy is like 85 people, which is way too many people in the building. They like to have it limited down to 15 people at one time, if possible, and have some hour restrictions. So kind of, you know, capacity come and go, come and go.
Kodiakans can anticipate the soft reopening of the library on June 15th. Putting these safety measures into effect is an additional financial burden that the city will incur, as buildings will need minor upgrades such as plastic screens and receptionist tables and additional staff time to screen patrons. Councilmember John Whitten acknowledged this cost.
Just a cost question. It looks like especially with the pool, the cost to do these additional mitigations is going to be significant. So are we able to track that and bill that against COVID-related funds?
True, yes. We will be tracking and allocating towards the CARES Act if we decide to choose that funding. We recognize it will, I think everyone recognizes the added cost to provide these safety measures.
Twenge plans to buy supplies in bulk for all departments to save money. Some council members expressed concerns over areas within the city limits that don't have clear mitigation plans. Council Member Charlie Davidson.
How are we monitoring those fishing boats coming in with crew members? And is it lawful that if we can have these temperature takers where you go into the air, where we can have immediate as to whether or not they have a fever? Are we doing anything like that? And could we if we're not?
We're not taking temperatures. We have a harbor use agreement that people are filling out with. There's information in there that they agree to comply with. And
Twenge responded about self-policing and self-quarantining and that it's ultimately the responsibility of the captain. Councilmember Whitten added,
I've talked to a couple of fishermen who are actually quarantining crews on the boats. They're taking them groceries every few days and the guys are staying on the boats. So I think they're probably conforming as much as possible. So they're taking it seriously. They, especially guys who are going up into the bay attendant, they don't want to take a chance of anybody getting sick and losing that attendant job. So they're really paying close attention to this.
But the specter of a large coronavirus breakout continues to concern the city, even as it plans to reopen. Mayor Pat Branson.
What happens if we have an outbreak of cases here? What happens then with the facilities?
So that's a question that's asked quite often, and we'll see where the cases are, if they're in Kodiak.
Well, that's what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, if they're in Kodiak and they're in a specific area that we can isolate, that'll be a mitigation measure by just isolating those infected people. If it's more scattered and widespread and we don't know the source of it, I anticipate a retraction in the opening.
For KMXT News, I'm Jared Griffin.
For a detailed breakdown of the city's mitigation plans for each department, visit our website, kmxt.org.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Recycled fishing nets from Cordova launch a new clothing line. More after this.
An AMSI-trained fisherman is more likely to survive an emergency at sea. Learn more at AMSI.org.
Recycled fishing nets from Cordova will help launch a new clothing line by Grundens. The Copper River Watershed Project is refreshing its net recycle program, underway for a decade, backed by the Pacific Marine States Commission. Shea Bowman is Watershed Operations Manager.
The vision with the new program is really to create a self-sustaining recycling program that is a valued asset to the commercial fishing fleet. And then we don't want to have to be constantly, you know, chasing down grants and sources of funding for the program.
Enter Nicole Baker of Net Your Problem, who has jump-started net recycle programs throughout Alaska.
I think the gillnet fleet is pretty dialed in, but seines are made out of the same type of plastic that gill nets are, so those two gear types can be recycled together.
A goal this summer is to fill a 40-foot container for shipment to a recycling center in Europe. Bowman says changes in the market mean that, unlike before, nets must be clean and stripped before drop-off.
What I really want to get the word out is that we need to recycle nets better. Our nets coming in really need to be clean and stripped of any non-nylon material, cork lines, the weed lines, the lead line, the hanging twine. I'm trying to increase our quality.
European recyclers will turn the nets not into pellets for making other plastics, but yarn for clothing. Enter Grundens.
We believe it's really important to use our brand voice and strength to help protect and maintain healthy marine environments and to lend a hand where we can.
Matt Jackson is Grundens' chief marketing officer. Jackson says the project dovetails nicely with Grundens' new clothing line.
In 2021, we are launching a full line of products from technical outerwear to more lifestyle casual items like shorts built out of EcoNil regenerated nylon, which is largely comprised of recycled fishing nets.
Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
57 degrees, mostly cloudy somewhere, but up here on the hill it's pretty nice. 42% humidity, pretty low. West wind 14, gusting to 20 out at the airport with 10 miles of visibility. Sunny today with a high near 59, north winds around 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight with a low around 48. North winds 5 to 15, becoming northwest after midnight. Isolated showers after 1 in the morning to 1 p.m. tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a high near 60. Northwest winds 10 to 15, becoming northeast 5 to 10 in the afternoon with chance of precipitation at 20%. 28th of May today, 5:25, it came up, goes down at 10:51. 17 hours and 30 minutes of daylight time, 3 minutes and 4 second daylight gain. 68th to high in 1993, the low was 30 in 1997. A frontal boundary in the southern Gulf associated with a 988 millibar North Pacific low will remain nearly stationary through Saturday morning. Chiniac Bay today, northwest 20, becoming north 10 in the afternoon with 4-foot seas down to 2 feet. Tonight, north 10, becoming northwest 15 after midnight, 2-foot seas. Northwest 15, becoming east 10 in the afternoon, 2-foot seas Friday. Marmot Bay, northwest 15, 3-foot seas this afternoon. North 10, becoming west 15 after midnight, 3-foot seas tonight. Northwest 15, becoming east in the afternoon with seas of 3 feet. We do have this commercial fishing update from Bristol Bay at 3 o'clock today. Tune in on KMXT. There is an assembly special meeting. There's a special meeting right now at noon, but there's another one here at 6:30 tonight with the Borough Assembly. Check their website for more information. City Council is having a work session or a regular meeting tonight at 7:30. It'll be broadcast live here on KMXT, city@kodiak.ak.us.meetings. That's where it's available for meeting information. clerks@city.kodiak.ak.us to email your questions during the meeting, 486-8610. Baby bunkers right up.
Support for KMXT comes from GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.